The Christmas Story. How would you explain it? How would you picture Christmas if you could frame it? The Nativity, right? Shepherds watching their flocks by night. Wise men trekking whilst tracking a sat-nav starlight with Mary and Joseph, humbled by the sight of little baby Jesus tucked in tight. That's Christmas, right? Propped up with straw and reeds and a tray of animal feed and cushioned in. Hey, I know it sounds quite cosy and nice. Reality was, there was no room for the little guy on that Bethlehem night. He kept in a cradle. Animals as roommates. I'm not trying to pick holes in the stay of the place. I'm just saying the way they were staying was just short of space. We talk about entrance. His birth from a dress meant Jesus literally arrived in the mess. But less about the birthplace and the state of the floor. I mean, it's more to the Christmas story than the deck of straw. Flip forward 8 days. In the temple, this little guy's the reason for praise. From the lips of a guy called Sim, who's in his old age. For years, Sim waited in anticipation, but then the old met the new. My eyes have seen your salvation. The newborn Jesus, from messy manger to a passing of a baton just 8 days later. Seeing the mess of the birth comes a new age, and what's more, the birth was foretold in a mess age. Which brings us back to the cast. At the nativity set, you see, it was a message that guided their stable footsteps. An angel postman popped round, said Mary'd found favour, a save the date declaration, you'll give birth to the saviour. He'd be son of the Most High, born through the Spirit, heir to David's throne, his reign without limit to Joseph. Call him Jesus, he really will bless, because he came to save people from all their mess. To the shepherds, he's here to rescue. That's why he's come. The reason for good news of joy, he's the one. As for the wise men, they figured the news. They gave gifts and paid homage to little King of the Jews. See, God brought the message, so they entered the mess to see Jesus' arrival at the nativity set. But let's back up a sec. See, this rhetoric rings a bell. Back in the day, Isaiah waxed lyrical about a future Emmanuel, God with us, one who'd be central to the story of forgiveness. So zoom out from the Christmas postcard, a message 700 years prior. He'll be a light to the searchers that spread salvation, says Isaiah. See, the angel's news, it wasn't new. In fact, these nativity messages echoed God's promises right through the ages. These messages read Jesus speaking hope to the earth, predicting his arrival centuries before the birth. Thing is, when Christmas comes round, maybe there's a danger that we go Pinterest with Christmas and just pin up the manger in the nativity scene. It's like rating a whole film by watching one scene or thinking you know a novel because you had a quick look. So you get the whole story by skim reading one page in a book. And what I said before, about him born in the mess and the deck out of straw, maybe it could also be a metaphor for all the mistakes, all the messiness in life and what that creates, all the stuff in this world that just doesn't sit right. There was a reason he was born on that first Christmas night. He was born in the mess to make the wrong right. He's the message of hope. Because out of the mess saw God news birth that will certainly bless. Frame the stable, sure, but don't miss the picture. It was a message declared since the beginning of scripture. A war in the mess, but there's only one victor. A heel bruised, but be good news for sure. The very promise became flesh in that deck out of straw. See, from the mess comes a message, and there's none that is higher. Because what follows the mess is I-A-H, mess, I-A.
Well, I wonder how many of you have already been in a mess this morning from all the paper and wrapping, unwrapping. You might have already had to tidy up. I should actually ask whose recycle boxes are already full. That would be me. And recycling is not coming on Wednesday as normally. It does, unfortunately. So we're talking about the mess at Christmas there. I don't know about you. I don't know how many of you have got people coming for Christmas. Have you got folk, relatives coming for Christmas? And the wonderful thing about having relatives coming for Christmas is great to have them, isn't it? But the problem is, there is the preparation that's got to be done for them, isn't it? You can stare heavily at the people who have come to visit you today, if you want to, because of course we have to do a lot of work to prepare for it. And I don't know about you, but I wonder who has spent a lot of time cleaning already. I could ask you. I saw this. Believe it or not, there is a website which is committed to pre-Christmas deep cleaning. Who did that? Nobody did that. Okay, that's good. I'm glad about it because the place is going to become a mess. So if you've got folk around, it does. That's what happens. And it is great that it happens. But you see, we do clean, don't we, before Christmas because we don't want people to come into a mess. We don't want to have our visitors coming to a place which is all messy. And you wouldn't choose to go to a place which is really messy, would you? We once went on holiday to Ireland. By the way, this is not a bad advertisement for Ireland, I need to say. I have not Irish roots, but I did live in Ireland for many years. I love the place. But in this particular holiday, it did not work out quite as we intended. You see, we turned up and we had rented a caravan. And the caravan looks something like that. This is just a stock image I got off the internet. It's not the actual caravan, but it looks something like that. When we booked it, those were the days when you actually had to phone up to book something, you know, they didn't have the internet. So when we booked it, we phoned up, we talked to them, and they said, this caravan is a new caravan. So we thought, great, we will book this caravan. New caravan overlooked the Shannon River as it meets the sea. Gorgeous sunrises and sunsets in the evening as well. And it's just an amazing place. And so we got there, we opened the door, and we could not believe how filthy this caravan was. You have never seen a caravan as filthy as this one. So we did what every British person doesn't normally do. We went and complained. And so we went up to the people who owned this caravan and we said, this is a mess. You said this was a new caravan. They said, yes, it is. We went and picked it up from the caravan site up the road just a few days ago and brought it down here. It's new to us. Well, great. Well, we went out and we got loads of bleach and loads of cleaning stuff, and we cleaned and we cleaned and we cleaned, and eventually it was a place we felt we could actually have our kids in. But you wouldn't have chosen to go there, would you? There's no way you'd have chosen to go into that situation. And the amazing thing at Christmas is that Jesus chose to come into a messy world. There's a number of reasons for that. And our passage that you've got there, if you've got it open, talks about these reasons. We're going to have a think about them. But I do need a little bit of help, first of all. Okay, come on, Archie, come on up. Okay. Right. You're the very first of my volunteers, you see, because I've got a nice bowl here, which is nice and clean, and I need you to make a mess of it. So we've got some bowls of things here. You can have a look at them. Choose one of them and empty it in there. Okay, you can do that while I'm talking, you see. The very first bit of the mess that we see, if you look at your passages together in verses 1 to 3, you see a surprising character. So which of those do you want? Okay, go for it. You put it in there. Okay, if he gets messy, not my responsibility. Okay. Have we done that? You got it all in there? Brilliant. Okay, so you can put that bowl down. You can go and sit down again and lick your fingers if you really want to. Right. So that's the first part of it. So we're starting to get messy here. We'll make it more messy as we go through. Okay. The first thing we see here, if you look at it, is firstly of all a strange character. Go back to your Bibles and have a look at who you see in chapter 2. It says, in those days, and then there's a strange character in the Christmas story. We're used to it because we read it, but Caesar Augustus. Why is Caesar in the Christmas story? Why do we have a Roman emperor in the Christmas story? Well, actually, we've got to think a little bit about the history of God's people. You see, God's people in Israel were supposed to have the single king over them, and that was supposed to be God himself. They decided years before they didn't want God as their king. They were going to have their own king who they would choose, and they chose a king called Saul. And then they had some very good kings, and they had some very bad kings over the years. But the whole point was they decided to do what they wanted rather than what God wanted. Now, what they actually did when you choose to do what you want rather than what God wants is a very simple word in the Bible, and this is the word. If you can read it, can you read it? Go on, we need somebody else to read this. Go on. What's it? Sin, that's right. So it's a very simple word called sin. And, you know, we often think of sin as all the wrong things I do, but it's actually much simpler than that. You see, right in the middle of this word, you will see one other word. It's a very short word, okay? What word is this? Go on, go. You keep your answers. Okay. It's me, isn't it? So the heart of sin is simply this, that I do what I want. I'm telling God, I do not want to do what God wants, but I want to do what I want. If you go right back to the start of the Bible in Genesis, you discover that God made a perfect world, a world which was not a mess, a world which was really good. And in that world, man and woman lived. And then they said one day that I want to decide to do what I want. And there was that bit of fruit in the garden which God had said, you can have everything else, but that one bit of fruit. Now, I don't know whether you like Brussels sprouts or not. Does anybody like Brussels sprouts? I love Brussels sprouts, okay. Okay, but if you don't like Brussels sprouts, it's the Brussels sprout tree, okay? It's you don't need it. You don't have to have it, but actually it was there. And it was simply God put it there to test them to see if they really wanted to follow God. And they decided they didn't. They decided they wanted to do what they wanted to do. They decided to rebel against God. So this big word sin is actually all it simply says is that we decide to do what I want to do. I'm going to make myself king of my life. I'm going to get rid of God from my life, and I am going to be king of my own life and do what I want rather than following what God wants. That's very simply what it's about. And because of that, God, because they kept turning against God and away from God, eventually God drove them away into different kingdoms, into Assyria, into Babylon. Even when they came back, although they did have some of their own kings, they had foreign rulers over them. And so the problem here, you see, the mess that they were in is a mess of sin. It was saying, I want to rule my own life. Now, the problem is in our own lives, we all have the same mess of sin in our lives. We look inside our lives and we see the times where we say, no, God, I don't want to do what you want. I don't want to follow your word. I don't want to obey you. I want to do what I want. And we look back in our lives and we can see the mess of things that we have done in the past, which we are absolutely ashamed of. And yet we can't get rid of them, because we've made a mess of our lives. So the first bit of mess is the mess of sin. Now, I need somebody else to help me. Come on up. Okay, we'll have you next, okay? actually, we can have two now. You can come up as well, okay? So we've got two bowls, okay? We've got a bit of a mess. Do you know what's in there? Can you see what's in there? What is it?
Pasta.
It's pasta, spaghetti, okay? So you can choose another bowl, whichever one you want. I'll take the spoon out of that because that shouldn't be in there. Add it to that, mix it about a bit, and we'll see. We'll make another mess. Now, there's more mess. They're making more mess. There's more mess. It's not just the mess of sin, but if you go to verse 4, you see there was another mess. Okay. does it look impressive? How does it look? Disgusting, that's what I want to hear. Okay, thank you. Round of applause for my helpers, okay. Disgusting, it looks disgusting. Okay, there was another mess. So verse 4, we read that Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, a town of David, because he belonged to the house of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married with him. Why did they go there? Well, because there was a call for to be counted. Now, this is a really bad timing, wasn't it? If you have a look at the passage, you see that when they got there, verse 6, it says, and when they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Mary was very, very pregnant, and they had to do a journey, which was 60 miles as the crow flies, but they didn't have planes in those days, and so the route they would have to take would be 100 miles of hard walking to go from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, and they had to do it. Well, Mary was heavily pregnant. Now, those of you who have been pregnant will appreciate that this is not a kind of journey you would like to make. Now, there are many things in our life which are a mess, aren't they? They're a mess just because things go wrong. And so you get up in the morning and you trip over the cat. You know the kind of thing. And you know the kind of day you're going to have. And you go and you serve yourself breakfast and you get the milk out to put on top of it and the milk comes out in lumps. Have you ever had a day like that? You know, and everything's going to go wrong. You go to open your car up and the key battery and your keys don't work and you can't open your car up. Or you go to get a train and the trains have been cancelled. And it just seems, you know, that the day is going to go from bad to worse. Life is like that, isn't it? Life is like that. And we just have these very, very bad days sometimes. Well, why is life like that? Well, in the Bible, if you go back to Genesis in the early chapters, you discover life wasn't like that. God made this world perfect. But because man sinned, there were all sorts of things which went wrong along with that sin. And so God says he cursed the world. And part of that curse was that when man would go out and they would do their work, then instead of plants growing up, there would be thorns and weeds that would grow up as well. There was all sorts of mess in life. Now, why did God do that? Well, God did that because God wanted to remind Adam and wants to remind us as well that this life is not perfect. It's not what it ought to be. He wants us to actually look inside our own hearts and see the mess of sin that we have in our lives, as well as the mess of life around. He wants to point out that something is terribly wrong. And so if you've had a bad day recently, my wife is here this morning, you can throw your arms around her and greet her on Christmas if you want to, but I just want to let you know, she was vomiting yesterday. This was not a good thing. Okay, that's part of the fallen world. And so it's wonderful that she feels so much better today and is with us today, but it's part of a fallen world. This is not, why do we have these difficult things? Because we have a mess of sin, and because we have a mess of life, because God wants to see us from this life, remind us of the bad things that we have done. Now, the amazing thing about Christmas is that God came to deal with the mess of sin and came to deal with the mess of life. Not that we are immune from all of those things, but we know that in those things, we can know that God is with us and he is able to help us through every single one of them. Now, I need a last volunteer, please. I need someone different who hasn't volunteered so far. Is there anybody else who can volunteer? There's some folk upstairs as well, I know, from distance from here. Any more volunteers? Okay, we'll have somebody. Come on up. We can do that, Jack. Come on. We need a last volunteer. Oh, we've got two. Okay, yeah, come on up. That's okay. I need another person anyway. Do you want to put the last bowl of stuff in there? Okay, if I give you that. Okay. So there we go. Whoops. That's disgusting. She says, that's disgusting. Okay, you've got someone here. There's a bit of paper towel under there if you want to get hold of it, and then we can, right now. So we mix this all up. Shall we show everybody what this looks like? Okay, I don't know whether I can show you. You can see a bit through there, can't you? A bit of it. It is pretty disgusting. Does anybody want to come and put their hands in this? Right. Okay, so here's the thing, okay? I've got in my pocket. I have got a 1p coin in my pocket. Okay. If I had put a 1p in there, would it be worth going to fish for that 1p? No, we don't think so, do we? Anybody think it's worth going to fish? I'll tell you what, I'll up it to 20p. If I put that in there, is it worth going to fish for that? He's thinking about it. Oh, I have got a £10 note. Okay. Is it worth going to fish for that? Are you sure? Is it worth going to... Okay, I'm really sorry. I am so sorry. Okay. We're going to do this, aren't we? Okay. Is it worth going to fish? Okay, do you think you want to go? I'd say, sorry, Pete, as well, our caretaker. I am really sorry for everything that's about to happen. Okay, do you want to go and fish for that? You don't have to. You want to, okay. Okay, you can go and fish for that, see if you can find your... You might have to feel... Oh, you got it pretty quickly. That's gross. That is really gross. Do you want to put that in your pocket now? No. Okay, that is really gross, isn't it? That's not good. You can have it, and I'll tell you what, but you can have it with a load of that. Okay, rip it off. All right, you're going to clean it up. Okay, is it any good? Okay, you can ask to see the £10 note afterwards. It's still disgusting, isn't it? You've got to do a lot of work to clean up. There's more there. You carry on. There's water there as well. We talked about the mess of sin. We talked about the mess of life, which is to remind us of the mess of sin inside our hearts. But actually, there's a wonderful message in Christmas. And you see, I actually had to ask you whether it was worth it. You didn't go in after the 1p, did you? You didn't bother with the 20p, but you did go for the £10. I wonder what it would be worth for you to. What would I put in there for you to go for it? You know the most amazing thing about Christmas is... That's fine. No, you can go down. That's fine. Give him a round of applause. He did very well. The most amazing thing about Christmas is that actually, although we like to think of ourselves as incredibly valuable, we're actually not really that valuable. We're not really. If you add up all the chemicals within us, apart from one which is a very, 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 very small proportion of our body, which is enormously expensive, you add up to about £2.50 worth of chemicals. This is what we're worth in reality. We're worth very, very little. But the most amazing thing is that in God's sight, we are so valuable because He made us. That He sent His only Son, His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the mess of this world. And think how He came. He came into that stable, that messy stable. And that's a great picture for us because He came to deal with the mess of our lives. He loved us so much that He came and He lived the perfect life that we can't live. Instead of the messy life that we have, in the mess of all of this life, He lived a sinless life. And He did it so He could go to the cross and He could die for you and me. You had to put your hands right in, didn't you? And the Lord Jesus Christ had to come and live this life to demonstrate that there is a perfect life that can be lived. Not that we can live it, but only He can live it. To show us that we cannot get rid of that messiness of our life ourselves. We can only get rid of the messiness of that sin if we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And when He died on the cross, what did God do? God put the messiness of our sin upon Him, and He took the punishment for all that I have done so that I can be set free from all of my sin. You know, the wonderful message of Christmas is simply this. The angels cried out that to you this very day, in the city of David, in the town of David, is born a baby, and He is Christ the Lord. He is the promised one who has come to deal with the messiness of our life. He came into this world to deal with all that mess. And the wonderful gift of Christmas is not a lovely, mushy scene of a little baby in a stable, but the wonderful gift of Christmas is God giving His Son to die for us, so that we can know eternal life, so He can deal with the messiness of that sin and set us free from it all. Now, we've come here to celebrate Christmas together, and it's lovely to greet one another and to celebrate all the presents that we've got and everything else. We want to celebrate more than anything else that God so loved you that He sent His only Son so that you can be forgiven for all the wrong that we have done, so that we can come into relationship with Him, so He can walk with us through the messiness of this life and lead you into His presence forever. That's the real message of Christmas.